tomorrow. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 80. Psalms 80. There are about 150 Psalms in the Bible. How many of you know that? How many of you had that revelation before? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Of them, which about 50 are anonymous, about 73 David wrote, about 12 of them a man called Asaph wrote, about 10 of them were written by the sons of Korah, about 2 of them Solomon wrote, one of them Moses wrote. Hallelujah. But we're going to look to Psalm 80, which is written by Asaph. I hope that's how you pronounce him. Hallelujah. Now, he's speaking about a psalm of restoration. How many of you know that God can bring restoration upon our lives? How many believe that this afternoon? Hallelujah. That the presence of the Lord in your life can bring in restoration every area of your life. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I have more volume on this? It's a psalm of restoration. And it's amazing that, you know, not only Psalm 80, but Psalm 50 was also written by the same person, Asaph. He wrote Psalm 50 also. And 50 in the Bible is the year of Jubilee. Jubilee is the year when everything is restored. Leviticus says everything that you have lost is restored in the year of Jubilee. Amen. So this man has got a passion for restoration. Each of his psalms, when you read, he's got a passion to see restoration come. And this is a psalm which speaks about the restoration of God's ark in the temple of Jerusalem. Amen. And he is the only person who would have a right to actually write a psalm, because he was being blessed by God when the restoration took place to be ministering before the Ark of the Covenant for 40 years. For 40 years, he continuously ministered before the Ark of the Covenant. This man called Asaph. Now he is speaking here a psalm of restoration, and I pray this word will bless us this afternoon. We were preaching all through the last 1 week on evenings, and every time I pray, it is coming this evening, this evening, this evening. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let's look to Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come and save us. Amen. Hallelujah. The third verse, restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be. Amen. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Seventh verse, restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be. Amen. Hallelujah. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent forth her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck of fruit? The boar out of the woods uprooted, and the wild beasts of the field devour it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see and visit this vine. Are you still with me? And the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself, is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. One more time. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be. Amen. One more time. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be. Amen. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We shall be saved when you restore us, O God. And let your face shine upon us. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you look at the word of the Lord, right from Genesis to the book of Revelation, you will see the heart of God is bent on restoration. In Genesis 1:1, God created a perfect world, the heavens and the earth. But in Genesis 1:2, there is something that has happened to that earth and to that heavens in which God has created. Amen. The earth was formless, void, and dark. Something has happened. Everything that God creates is perfect, but in verse 2, something has happened that has made the earth desolate, it has made it dark, and it's made it empty. But verse 3 is a word of restoration. If you look at the Bible, Genesis 1, you will find time and again God's word say, after everything that God did, God say, it is good, it is good, it is good. But in Genesis 1 and verse 2, God does not say it is good. In Genesis 1 and verse 2, because the earth was formless, it was void, it was dark. Why? There was an enemy which was manipulating the whole earth at that time and creating a darkness that which God had created. The enemy was trying to destroy. Amen. But hallelujah, it looks like the enemy is won for some time. But my Bible says our God is a God of restoration. You might look at your life and say everything is falling apart. I think I've lost it. I started well, but looks like on the way I have messed up. And I think I'm going down. Let me tell you, our God is a God of restoration. He can bring in some restoration into your life this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. My Bible says in Genesis 1:3, that's a word of restoration. When God is saying, let there be. Amen. It's a word of restoration. God restoring. In Genesis chapter 3, you find Adam and Eve were put in a perfect world. In a perfect garden, pardon me. But you will find the enemy coming in there and again trying to destroy their relationship. They looked like everything was going well. They had the time of fellowship with God, enjoying a walk with God. But the enemy came and deceived them. You remember that? Have you fallen under the deception of the enemy at any time of your life? Oh, there might be times in your life you're falling into the deception patterns of the enemy. But let me tell you, when the enemy deceived that time and when they lost out on the fellowship with God, again the Lord is coming in search of them and He is restoring them. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have the prophetic word in the New Testament which speaks to us that Jesus came in the fullness of time. Why? To restore mankind to Himself. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're walking here for the first time, let me tell you, hallelujah, your life might be in sin, it might be in bondage, it might be in the terrible chaos all around you, but let me tell you, if you come to Jesus, there is a restoration for you this morning, right now, before you walk out of this place. Amen. The heart of God is bent on restoration. Amen. There is nothing that has happened in your life which God cannot restore. There is nothing which the enemy has destroyed, which God cannot restore. Say that with me. There is nothing in my life that the enemy has destroyed, which God cannot restore. He can restore and He will do it. I pray right now, this moment and this time, the anointing of God will move upon your lives. The presence of the Almighty God will move upon this place right now. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord restoring. Look at Isaiah 59. There are times in your life when you think like that, as if the enemy has won. Isaiah 59, you might have read it many a time. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the 19th verse, 59th chapter. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Why does the enemy come in like a flood? To lower your standard. He comes to destroy. Oh, there might be times when the enemy has come in like a flood to lower your standard of walk with God. But let me tell you, then the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. That means restoration. Every area of your life that has been brought down, the standard of life that you had with God, and the fellowship that you enjoyed with God, the walk that you had, which you think the enemy has destroyed. Let me tell you this morning, the Spirit of the Lord is willing to uphold you and put that standard right up back. Amen. Anybody believe that this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. It's a word of restoration. Every area. I like that. Every area. There is not one area which God cannot restore. Everything that the enemy has destroyed, my Bible says God will restore. 1 Samuel chapter 30. You find at a place called Ziklag. David, an anointed of the Lord, is coming back to see his family plundered. His wealth is lost. His wives are taken. His children are taken captive. There is captivity. There is financial loss. There is bondage. And there is an emptiness. Why? Because the enemy has taken. The Amalekites have taken them away. But 1 Samuel chapter 30. All the people with David began to cry. David also cried. Let me tell you, the unbeliever and the believer might cry. But after your tears, there is a word from God for you. David cried, but the difference was this. After he had cried, he got up and inquired of the Lord. He said, Lord, is there a word for me? It looks like the enemy has plundered. It looks like the enemy has taken over something from my life and taken it away. But is there a word from you, O God? Bring in the priest. Bring in the Urim and the Thummim. Let me have the counsel of God upon my life. Amen. Even in the times of destruction, let me tell you, the believer will get up right back. There might be times when it looks like you have lost everything, even after trusting in Jesus Christ. Even after stepping out for Jesus, it might look like things are not going well and everything is falling apart. But do not fear. Amen. After your tears, get up and inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, what should I do? What is the word from your God? And our God will always give us counsel. He's willing to speak to us. He's willing to speak to you today. There is somebody here sitting here. You have been a spiritual mess. Let me tell you, there is a word of restoration for your life. My God is building up the walls once again. Hallelujah. All that. In 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8, the Bible says that David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said to him, you know what? You will regain everything that you have lost. Not just some things. Just not some things. All that you have lost. Are you willing to believe it this morning? All that you have lost. If you have lost your health, God will restore it. Don't stop at the first and the second book of Job. Look at the last chapter also. Everything that Job lost, God restored it back. Hallelujah. There is no spirituality in just resting upon the first and the second chapter of Job. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the last chapter, there is a restoration. Everything that Job lost, there is a minimum restoration of double fold. Hallelujah. For every trouble that you've been facing in your life, you're going to make the devil pay. You're going to make the devil pay. There is a double restoration for your life in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. A double restoration. Amen. God said unto David, all that you have lost, David, you will regain. All. I like that word, all. Hallelujah. Just not some things. It might be your spirituality. It might be a walk of holiness. It might be the victories that you had, the testimony that you had, the life that you once enjoyed, the gifting that you once enjoyed, the prophecy gift that you enjoyed, the gift of tongues in which you used to have a wonderful time with God, the gift of preaching, maybe the passion for souls, whatever it is. Let me tell you, you will regain everything that which you have lost. I speak it over your life this day. Let the hand of God be upon you this afternoon to restore everything that you have lost. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If the enemy has broken down, my Jesus will restore. Hallelujah. I like that. Actually, when you look at the word of God in Revelation 21, actually God is speaking about new heavens and earth. There is a restoration. The Bible starts with the restoration. It ends with the restoration. And all through in between also there is a restoration. Hallelujah. There is no failure for a child of God that is permanent. Remember that. You might fail, but that doesn't make you a failure. You might have stumbled, but that doesn't make you a failure. There is no failure in your life which is not permanent. Hallelujah. My God will see that you are up and running once again. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles and soar on high. Look at someone and say, there is no perfect damage that the enemy can do over my life. I have things restored in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. The enemy comes with all its pride to destroy. Jesus comes with all his humility and restores. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you imagine that the Lord made sure that the serpent was struck down as a lamb? Not as the Lion of Judah. The Lamb of God. Amen. A Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you glad you are here this morning? Oh, I'm glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's get to Psalm 80. It's a psalm of restoration. And my Bible says that that the Ark of the Covenant, when Joshua is carrying the Ark, remember this, the tabernacle when it was built for the Ark and not the other way around. Are you with me? The tabernacle was built for the Ark. The Ark was that which was there in the most holy of holies. And then there was the holy place and the outer court. And that's what we call the tabernacle. But the Ark was made, hallelujah, or the tabernacle was made for the Ark. Amen. How many of you know that the church was made for Jesus? Are you with me? We don't make tailor-made Jesus for any church. Come on. Come on. We don't compromise on Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only mediator. He's the only way of our salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. The church was made for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You and me exist for Jesus. What's the purpose of your life? Are you sitting here this morning and asking? Let me tell you, the purpose of your life is for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the word it says here. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Joshua. The Ark of the Covenant, when Joshua is carrying it, I mean asking the priest to carry it, and when they're crossing over Jordan, there's an amazing, we're going to look at how the psalmist wrote that psalm, or why he wrote that psalm. Joshua 5. When the children of Israel got into the promised land, and when they were crossing Jordan, the Lord told Joshua to tell the priest to carry the ark on their shoulders. Amen? Amen? How many of you know that you are a priest? You are not learning to be a priest today. If you are a faithful believer in Jesus Christ, you are a priest already. A royal priesthood. Hallelujah. This is not a seminary. Hallelujah. You are a priest already when you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? Now, the priests were carrying the ark, and they were crossing over Jordan. Now look at the word. The first place where God said the ark should move to was the place called Gilgal. The place called? When you look at Joshua 5, you will find that word Gilgal. You can read through it later. You will find that place, Gilgal means a place of rolling away. Rolling away of shame. They had come out of Egypt. They were going through the wilderness. But here they are at the edges of Jordan. And going to cross over into the promised land. And the first place where the Ark of the Covenant is kept is the place called Gilgal. And that means a place of rolling away. And there in that place, God asked the children of Israel to do two things. One, God said unto Joshua, take a flint knife and circumcise the people again. They were circumcised earlier, but all through the 40 years, they didn't do it. And so God is saying, once again, circumcise them. Amen. Two, the Lord said, ask them to celebrate the Passover. They were supposed to celebrate the Passover every year after the book of Exodus chapter 12. But for 40 years, they were not obeying it. But God said unto them, you celebrate the Passover and you make sure that the people are circumcised. What does that mean? You're going to conquer some land. See, when you look at the Bible, the children of Israel conquered all of the promised land by camping from Gilgal. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. And what does that symbolize? See, the Passover symbolizes Jesus, what Jesus has done. Amen. He's not daily dying for you. Amen. Ora dosa mora belilla. Hallelujah. How many of you know that? He's died once for you. Once forever. The next time you're going to see him, you're going to see him as the conquering King of Kings. One time he's died for you on Calvary's cross. And we remember what he's done for us on Calvary's cross. And we celebrate that redemption which is purchased for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to tell you is, circumcision in a way is symbolic of your consecration at the foot of the cross. See, some of you just consecrate. Every religion has got their own ways of consecration or surrender. But most of it is empty. It ends in themselves. We are just not consecrating ourselves, trying to make ourselves holy for ourselves. We are consecrating ourselves to Jesus. Amen. Amen. It doesn't end with you. Are you with me? Your consecration doesn't end with you. That's only the beginning point. You're consecrating unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And what am I trying to tell you? They conquered the whole of the promised land from Gilgal. From the cross. You are beginning your victory and you're conquering from the cross. Jesus purchased the victory for you on Calvary's cross. From there you are enforcing the victory which my Jesus has purchased for you. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Are you still here? From the cross, you start. Are you with me? You enforce the victory that God has got for you. The place, Gilgal means, which I said, rolling away. And that it meant that the reproach of Egypt has rolled away. Amen. Amen. How many of you know that when you come to the foot of the cross, you come and say, Lord, I am a person of reproach because I've been in bondage too long, but I confess my sins to you. I say, Lord, my life belongs to you. Wash me in your precious blood, and you speak your redemption that you have in Christ, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It begins there. And you know for sure you're clean inside by, not because you are righteous, because the blood of Jesus cleansed you. And you're righteous by His blood. How many of you know that and believe that this morning? Amen. There are some of you sitting here, you know you are clean, you feel good. How many of you do that? Washed in the blood, hallelujah. I am ready for heaven, washed in the blood, hallelujah. What will wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Washed in the blood. Who will make me whiter than snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, redeemed by the blood. Anybody here sitting here redeemed by the blood? Give a clap offering unto Jesus. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Rajalaranda. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Look to Joshua chapter, the 18th chapter, the second place that the ark went from there. It's to a place in Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. Amen. And set up the tabernacle of meeting. Amen. The first place was Gilgal. The second place was a place called Shiloh. Shiloh means tranquility. Are you with me? Or peacefulness. It actually speaks about that the peace that you have with God. If you are at peace with God, you will have peace with everyone else. Some of the reasons why there are fights in your home is because you are not at peace with God. And you are trying to make peace with everyone else. Hallelujah. When you go in to make peace with everyone else, there is a fight. Why? Because you are not at peace yourself. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The second place that they went to was the place, or the ark went to, was the place called Shiloh. Amen. Tranquility. So let me tell you, wherever the ark goes, you take the reality of the first place with you to the second place. Wherever you go in life, from the place called Gilgal, you take the cross of Jesus with you. You take the reality of the sacrifice of Jesus with you. And you travel on from there to the place called Shiloh, which means tranquility, peace with God. How many of you are feeling tremendously peaceful inside? Hallelujah. Amen. Peace is now when you're smoked or all that you want to smoke and drink, all that you have drunk, and you're lying there doing nothing. Peace is now when you have no problems at home or no problems in your workplace. Are you with me? That is not peace. Peace is not somewhere in a health resort when you're resting somewhere with nothing to care about. That's not peace. Amen. Peace is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I give you my peace, I give you my peace, and my peace I give unto you. I give to you the peace, not like the world, the way the world gives, but my peace I give unto you. You know when Jesus said that? The night before his crucifixion. The night before the greatest trial in his life. The night before the greatest challenge in his life. That's the night before he said, I give you my peace. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. You would say, I would have peace if I had no problems around me. If my bank account is doing well, if my family is doing well, if my children are obeying me all the time, if my husband is listening to me instead of me listening to him, I would be at peace. Let me tell you, that's not the peace. Hallelujah. At the worst of situation, when everything was going wrong and everything looked like everything was going to blow apart, when his disciples left him, when his chosen one left him, even the people whom he had healed were turning their face away from him and saying, crucify him. The Lord is looking at his dearest one and saying, I give you my peace. How many of you want that kind of peace? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I give you my peace. I give you my peace. I give you my peace. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? The peace of the Lord. People who are looking always for problems to vanish away are never facing reality. Are you with me? There will be storm in every life. Let me tell you that whether you're a believer or unbeliever, there will be storms in every life. But if you have Jesus on the boat, you can sleep peacefully. Hallelujah. Your boat will reach the other shore. Amen. Your boat will reach the other side. Hallelujah. If you have Jesus with you. With Jesus in my boat, I can smile in the storm. Smile in the storm. Smile in the storm. With Jesus in my boat, I can smile in the storm. When I'm sailing. Anybody knows that song? Sing it out. With Jesus in my boat, I can smile in the storm. Smile in the storm, come on, smile in the storm. Jesus in my boat, I can smile in the storm. When I'm sailing home, when I'm sailing home, when I'm sailing home, when I'm sailing home. Hallelujah. Amen. With Jesus in your body, you can smile in the storm. Amen. Hallelujah. They came from Gilgal, the Ark of the Covenant to Shiloh, which means tranquility or peace with God. When you look in the Bible, you will find something amazing. See, in the book of, once a grandma said, she would go from every week for a meeting. And she would say, every week she goes, there are problems in her life. Every week. And she's a believer, she would go. And every day the preacher stands there and is giving a message. And he speaks from the historical part of the Bible, the intellectual part of the Bible, the Hebrew of the word, the Greek of the word. And he would teach like that. Purely from the head without asking the anointing of God to move. And she would sit there and say, oh my God. Still, get up and go. Still feel discouraged. One day she came and said, Lord, please, please, please speak to me something special. I've come here. I'm going through so many problems. Please speak to me something special, oh God. Let there be a special word from heaven for me. And that day when she walked in, the preacher was preaching. And it was a different preacher who believed in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Who believed that the anointing of God can break every yoke. Hallelujah. When he preaches, the word of God becomes alive. Amen. And he was ministering under the anointing. And the text for that day was a simple text. Which said, in the storm, look for the rainbow. Hallelujah. In the storm, look for the... And the preacher was preaching from the book of Genesis chapter 9. Where you will find Noah, when he went through the greatest of storms in his life, and he's coming out of the Ark of the Covenant building an altar, God is giving him a promise by a rainbow appearing in the sky. And God says, look at the rainbow. It's the sign of my covenant with you. No longer will I destroy the earth with flood again. Amen. Amen. And looking to the rainbow that must have given Noah an assurance of peace. Amen. Every time it starts raining, he knows, I can look to the rainbow. I can hold on to the promise of God. Amen. Hallelujah. When you look in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel is seeing a rainbow. You know when he's seeing the rainbow? He's seeing the rainbow amidst the storm. The children of Israel are going into exile. The temple of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The people of God are going into captivity. And Ezekiel is sitting there, discouraged, not knowing what he will do. At the time, God is showing him a rainbow amidst the trial also. What should you do? Look to the promise of God. Look to the rainbow. There is no storm that comes in your life without a rainbow appearing in your life. That's where you get your peace. Are you holding on to a faithful word from God in your life amidst the storm that you're going? Amen. But in the book of Revelation chapter 4, you will find John the Apostle seeing a rainbow around the throne of God. And it's a rainbow with a full circle. And that rainbow is actually before the storm. The church is caught up to be with the Lord. And there is a storm that's going to come upon the planet Earth. And he's seeing the rainbow before the storm. Hallelujah. You might go through a storm, whether a believer or an unbeliever, but if you have a believer, always there will be a rainbow. There will be a promise. There will be a word to which you will hang on. Hallelujah. Are you hanging on to a word this day? Hallelujah. When everything around you seems to be falling apart, hang on to the promise. My God is a God of restoration. He will make His face to shine upon me and He will restore all that I have lost. Amen. Hallelujah. Now this place called Shiloh is the place of peace. Are you with me? Now from there the ark went where? Open to Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. The 24th chapter of Joshua. Are you there? Can somebody read it? I have to preach for a couple more days. My throat. Can I have some more volume on this? 24 and verse 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Joshua chapter 24, 23, 26. Read it. 24, 23 to 26.
Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it by there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of God.
The word sanctuary is the same word for the ark. Amen. The third place where the ark of the covenant was kept was the place called Shechem. Amen. Shechem. Amen. You remember in the book of Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham was traveling onto the promised land, the first place that he traveled to and camped was the place called Shechem. Genesis 12 says that the first place that he traveled to and rested was the place called. Amen. And there were two notable things there at Shechem when he traveled there also. One was that Abraham built an altar there. And two, there was a tree. Here also you will find a tree. And here also you will find an altar. Whenever Shechem is mentioned, there always seems to be an altar. There always seems to be a tree. Amen? Hallelujah. The tree always symbolizes in the scripture the work of the cross. Are you with me? And the altar also symbolizes the cross of Jesus Christ. We have an altar from which those who are serving in the tabernacle have no right to it. Hebrews 13 says that. That's the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so here also, the third place where the Ark of the Covenant is taken to the place called Shechem, where you will find always, Abraham finds it there, Jacob finds it there. When in the book of Genesis 34, Jacob traveling back from the house of Laban back to the place called Bethel, on his travel, he's camping in a place called Shechem. And there when he's staying there, his daughter is harassed and raped by the people of that place. And the children of Israel, what do they do? The children of Jacob, what do? They kill the men in that city in Shechem. There is death there. Are you with me? Amen. And before they are killed, they are circumcised. Genesis 34 says, the children of Israel or the sons of Jacob said, circumcised. And there was circumcision, and then there was death, there was killing. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. And let me give you something simple here. It was in Gilgal they were circumcised. Amen. And then they moved to the place called Shiloh, which is tranquility. Now it is in the place called Shiloh. Let me tell you, never forget this, that the children of Israel were given the inheritance. Joshua gave the inheritance that was to each tribe from the place called Shiloh. Are you with me? How many of you know that when you only have peace with God, will you understand your inheritance? If you go to a man who has got no peace with God and tell him the inheritance that he's got in Christ Jesus, he says, I don't understand. Come on, church. If you go to someone and tell them, listen, we have an inheritance in Christ, that the Lord will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, and he's got no peace with God, he'll say, I don't understand, I don't get it. You should first lead him to Gilgal. Are you with me? Then tell him about the inheritance. When unbeliever comes to this place and we say, oh, you have healing in Jesus, they'll say, healing? I thought I had to go to the medical first. No. Jesus will heal you. If you've come in here sick, let me tell you, God will heal you. As a matter of fact, I find something with a problem with the skin, the Lord touching and healing somebody here with a problem with the skin. The Lord is healing you right now. There's somebody here with a problem in your left eye. The Lord is touching and healing you right now. The hand of the Lord is upon you. You will find that it's broken, that it's gone. There's somebody here with some problem in your bone somewhere here. The Lord is touching you now and healing you. It is in the place called Shiloh that the inheritance, once they had peace, could be given. Are you with me? But here you find from Shiloh they came to Shechem. Are you still here? Is this too deep? Is it okay? It is in a place called Shechem where there is again circumcision and again there is death. What does that mean? I thought I was already circumcised at Gilgal. Why do I have to go to a death again? You know why? Intellectually, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you know he's dying for you, the inheritance is there. But it is at the place called Shechem that intellectual knowledge becomes an experiential one. Come on, church. There is not a single person sitting here as believers. You know for sure that there is a way to heaven only through Jesus Christ. You know that he is able to take you and set you free from your death, from your sickness, from your hell. He's able to bring you through. You know it very sure in your head. But somewhere does not become an experiential part. You know you have to die to yourself. You know that the Holy Spirit of God has to do his work in you and bring you to that place. But it has not become an experiential part. I pray this afternoon that the hand of God would be upon you and he would give you an experiential part of it where you will know for sure that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, are we still with the message here? Amen. Now, see, from this place called Gilgal and the place called Shiloh and Shechem, you will find the next place that the Ark of the Covenant goes to is amazing. It's in 1 Samuel 1. It's going back to the place called Shiloh. Can you imagine that? It came from Shiloh, came to Shechem. 1 Samuel 1, you remember Hannah going up, where? To the place where the ark was, to pray. Amen? The ark is where? Back at Shiloh. Why? I don't understand that. You know what it speaks about? There are people that had come to Gilgal, had come to Shiloh, and had traveled as far as Shechem, but then when the going got a little tough, you turned back and went right back to Shiloh. And you say, I'm not willing to separate myself. I only want the peace with God. I want to stay with my own church. I want to stay with my own traditions. I want to stay with my own structure and with my own relatives back there who are dead. I don't want to separate myself and go on further. Are you with me? All I want to do is if I die, I go to heaven. Come on, come on, come on, church. It's God's Spirit speaking to someone here. All that I want is if I die, I have to go to heaven. Do you know that what you're doing is limiting God? There is a purpose for which God has called you. There is a plan over your life. There is a mandate over your life. There is a calling over your life. Don't stay where you are. You need to progress on. You need to keep on moving where God wants to take you. Hallelujah. Amen. They went right back to Shiloh. Oh, I pray that today God would bring back those people back again. Hallelujah. A fresh time of consecration. Oh, backslider, you have hope. You can come back. Hallelujah. You can come back. Amen. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't say this is as far as we will go. We have going to heaven, that is enough. Come on, come on, come on. There are souls to be saved through your life. There are souls to be saved through your life. There are souls to be set free through your life. There are family members in your own family that needs to be touched and saved by your standing with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, this time in Shiloh, what happens? 1 Samuel 4, you will find Eli's eye is growing dim. Are you with me? The oil, 1 Samuel 4 says the oil in the lampstand was going down. Eli's eye was growing dim. Eli's children were doing wicked things. They're profaning. My brother, my sister, you know what happens when you go back? Your spiritual revelation ceases to grow. There's a dimness that comes. Are you with me? Once you could see some purpose for your life, but you're wondering why that purpose is not being seen now in your eyes. You know why? Because you've gone back. Do you hear that? You're wondering why again you have problems, why your children are behaving in certain ways. Why your family problems once again. You know why? You have gone back. Amen. When God moves, we move. When God moves, so we need to move. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You might have gone back thinking your problems will cease if I go back and be a compromiser. But let me tell you, that doesn't happen. Only God can take care of your problems. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you need a spiritual revelation. Let me give you spiritual revelation. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, help them. Once again, let them move forward in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I go through this fast because of the things that I'm going to say again. If you're going through all the journeys of the ark, you will find it is amazing. It is deep. But if it was just a fasting crowd that was here, I could have gone on to it. But there are so many people who are coming here and they're staring and saying, what is this? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But the ark from the place called Gilgal and from Shiloh and Shechem and back to Shiloh, you know where? What happened to the ark? At Shiloh, again, the ark was captured. That's how the psalm comes about. Are you with me? The ark is captured. 1 Samuel 4, you know, Eli is sitting and he hears the news, the ark of the covenant is captured. He falls backwards and he dies. You know that? Amen. Philistines have captured the ark. It looks like the devil has won. Come on. It looks like the enemy has won. Philistines have captured the ark. The Philistines have captured the ark. And the worst of it, they have gone and kept the ark in the place of their worship called Dagon. And to the amazement, Dagon is falling flat on the face every day morning. And the priest of Dagon is taking and putting it back there again. And again, Dagon is falling down. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the devil and God cannot go together? Hallelujah. One of them will have to fall down. It will always be the devil. Amen. നിന്റെ പൂജയും കർത്താവിന്റെ കൃപയിലുള്ള അറപ്പുമാണ് ഇറങ്ങിയത്. Amen. ഹാലലുയ. പൂജയുടെ ശക്തിയിൽ ഇന്ന് തന്നെ മാറിപ്പോയി യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ. Amen. മന്ത്രവും കർത്താവും ഇറങ്ങിയത്. മന്ത്രത്തിന്റെ ശക്തിയിൽ യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ മാറുക. Amen. Hallelujah. There's somebody here. അമ്പലത്തിലുള്ള ആരാധനയും ദൈവത്തിനുള്ള സത്യാരാധനയോട് നടക്കിയത് ഒരുമിച്ച്. Amen. അമ്പല ശക്തികളുടെ ബന്ധങ്ങൾ ഇന്ന് യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ അഴിഞ്ഞ് മാറട്ടെ. Come on, church. ഉടലാ രഞ്ജന രാജരത്ന യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ മാറട്ടെ. അമ്പല കെട്ടുകൾ, ദേവീ ശക്തികളുടെ ബന്ധനങ്ങൾ യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ അഴിഞ്ഞു മാറട്ടെ. യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ അഴിഞ്ഞു മാറട്ടെ. ഉടല ഹന്ത ജാര ഉടാ സമ്പജ ലന്ദന രാജ ഉടലാരന്ദന രചന ദാസ. Amen. Dagon is falling flat. Hallelujah. Again, Dagon is falling. Finally, the arm is broken. The head is broken. You think that the devil has won? No. God just has gone through, hallelujah, to make sure that the root cause of your problem is broken. നിന്നെ ടോർമെന്റ് ചെയ്യുന്ന പിശാചിന്റെ കൈയുണ്ടല്ലോ, ഇന്നത്തോടെ അവസാനിക്കണം യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ. അല്ലെ, നിന്നെ പുറകോട്ട് പിടിക്കുന്ന പിശാചിന്റെ കൈയുണ്ടല്ലോ, ഇന്നത്തോടെ വെട്ടിമാറ്റണം ദൈവിക കൃപയിൽ യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ. Let it be your victory this day. യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ അഴിയട്ടെ ബന്ധനങ്ങൾ, യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ അഴിയട്ടെ കെട്ടുകൾ, അഴിയട്ടെ യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ. ഇടലായ രഞ്ജന രാജന ഹത്തല രാജന. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It looks like the devil has won, but nah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. It is always the Lord who will have the last laugh. It is God's people who will have the last laugh. Hallelujah. The Bible has got a good ending if you are a believer. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, it has got a bad ending. You are going to the wrong place. You can't come with us. Hallelujah. We are going to a different destination. You are going to a different destination. Hallelujah. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we are all going to the same place. Hallelujah. There is everlasting joy. Amen. Hallelujah. For 7 months, it is in the hands of the Philistines. 1 Samuel 4 and 1 Samuel 6. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Now the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. 7 months, no testimony for Israel. Can you imagine that? No testimony for Israel. The Ark of the Covenant is missing. Can you imagine a church without the presence of God? Can you imagine a church without Jesus? Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? It was in the place or in the house called, look with me to the 7th chapter, verse 1. From that 7 months after that, it went to the place called, then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the Ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Lord. It was in the place called Kirjath-Jearim that the place is called City of Trees, again trees, where the Ark stayed for 20 years. 20 years the Ark was there in the house of who? Come on, church. Who? Abinadab. The ark was there for 20 years. 20 years. The tabernacle was not there. The ark was there. Are you with me? The ark was there. Can you imagine the condition of the people who are going to the tabernacle? For 20 years, people were going to this tabernacle still. But the ark was not there. Hallelujah. Some people are like that. Even when the presence of God is not there, they still go back to their old bondage. Christianity in the prayer again. അവിടെ ദൈവസാന്നിധിയില്ല, ദൈവിക കൃപയില്ല, അഭിഷേകം കൊടുക്കുന്നില്ല, യേശുവില്ല. കമോൺ കമോൺ, ബിൽഡിംഗും സ്ട്രക്ചറും ടാബർനാക്കളൊക്കെ ഉണ്ട്. 20 years the people are going there. Burnt offering ഉണ്ട്. എല്ലാ ദിവസവും രാവിലെ പോകുമ്പോൾ സമർപ്പിക്കും, സാധിക്കും, കുർബാന ആയിക്കൊള്ളും. കമോൺ, പക്ഷെ കർത്താവില്ല. 20 years Israel was being fooled. Can you imagine that? For centuries people have been fooled. I'm glad the grace of God has found me and saved me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, my Jesus. I give you glory. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now my Bible says, after 20 years, David is becoming the king of Israel. When David was the king of Judah, he didn't do anything. But 2 Samuel 5 and verse 3 says, when he became the king of Israel, when God anointed him, there's something that the anointing of God can do. Amen. The first thing that came upon his heart was to go and capture Jerusalem. He went and captured Jerusalem. It was not called Jerusalem at that time. When you read 2 Samuel 5, it was a different place where the Jebusites were ruling there. And Jebusites said, anybody who comes here, even the lame among us can kill you. Even the blind among us can kill you. Are you with me? And David said, who is first to go and face them? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And 1 Chronicles 11 speaks about a group of people who said, I want to be first. Amen. My Bible says, nevertheless, David took Jerusalem. No matter what the devil say. Sometimes you might be looking at a little problem in your life, a blind problem or a lame problem, and looking at your life and say, I don't think I can make it. Let me tell you, no matter what the devil says, nevertheless. Nevertheless, David took Jerusalem. There is a nevertheless to your life. Do you know that? No matter whatever the enemy fights against you, you should say nevertheless. Hallelujah. You should say nevertheless. Let me hear you, nevertheless. No matter what the enemy tries to do and challenge me, nevertheless. David took Jerusalem. And then he said, I want to make sure the Ark of the Covenant is brought back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. It looked like for 20 years, hallelujah, the enemy had won, but there is a restoration. There is a restoration. There is a restoration. നാളുകളായിട്ട് നിന്നെ നെക്കിക്കൊണ്ടിരുന്ന പിശാചിന്റെ പ്രവൃത്തി അവസാനിക്കുന്ന ദിവസങ്ങളായി. ഹാലലൂയ, അവസാനിക്കുന്ന ദൈവിക കൃപയുടെ സമയങ്ങളായി. ഹാലലൂയ, ദൈവിക കൃപ നിന്റെ മേൽ നിന്ന് വ്യാപരിക്കട്ടെ. നീ ആരാധിച്ച് ഏറ്റെടുത്തു, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ ഏറ്റെടുത്തു, യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ ഏറ്റെടുത്തു. നിനക്ക് വേണ്ടിയുള്ള കൃപ വ്യാപരിക്കട്ടെ, നിനക്ക് വേണ്ടിയുള്ള അഭിഷേകം വ്യാപരിക്കട്ടെ. നിനക്ക് നഷ്ടപ്പെട്ട തിരികെ തരുന്ന ദൈവത്തിന്റെ അഭിഷേകം, ഹാലലൂയ, നിനക്ക് നഷ്ടപ്പെട്ട വിശുദ്ധി ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ആത്മാവ് നിനക്ക് തിരികെ തരട്ടെ. നിനക്ക് നഷ്ടപ്പെട്ട വിശുദ്ധി ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ആത്മാവ് നിനക്ക് തിരികെ തരട്ടെ. വിജയം നിനക്ക് ദൈവത്തിന് തിരിച്ചു തരട്ടെ. ഹാലലൂയ, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ സാന്നിധ്യം നിനക്ക് തിരിച്ചു തരട്ടെ. ഹാലലൂയ, റാഡ ഹംദന രഞ്ജന രൂദല ഹദര ജൻബ ഹരന്ദന. ഓ ഗ്ലോബി ഗ്ലോബി ഗ്ലോബി, ഹാലലൂയ. ആമേൻ ആമേൻ, ഹാലലൂയ. ബ്ലെസ്ഡ് ബി ദി നെയിം ഓഫ് ദി ലോർഡ്. വി നോ ഹൗ വി ടുക്ക് ഇറ്റ്. ആർ യു വിത്ത് മീ? ആമേൻ, ഹാലലൂയ. ഹി ഫെയിൽഡ് ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് ടൈം ഇൻ ട്രൈയിങ്, ബട്ട് ഹി ട്രൈഡ് അഗൈൻ. There was always a nevertheless, hallelujah, which means I won't give up. No matter what the enemy says, no matter what the enemy says, hallelujah. You should have that kind of attitude, hallelujah. That's what it says in Micah chapter 7, don't gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise up again. That is a nevertheless, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That is a nevertheless, hallelujah. No matter what you do, I will get up again. No matter how many times you discourage me and say, you don't walk with Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Jeevichalum marichalum karthavinu vendi matra ennu dhairyathode paranjola. Nevertheless, 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 prashnam seriyayengilum undengilum, hallelujah, nevertheless I will serve my Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. പള്ളിന്ന് പുറത്താക്കും എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാലും കർത്താവിനെ ആരാധിച്ചു. കുഴിച്ചിടാൻ സ്ഥലം തരികയെന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാലും കർത്താവിനെ ആരാധിക്കുക. കെട്ടാൻ വേണ്ടി പെണ്ണെ തരാൻ പറ്റിയില്ല എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാലും കർത്താവിനെ ആരാധിക്കുക. ഹാലലൂയ, എന്നെ ജോലിന്ന് പിരിച്ചുവിടും എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാലും ഞാൻ കർത്താവിനെ ആരാധിക്കും. ഹാലലൂയ, എന്നെ തല്ലി കൊല്ലും എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞാലും ഞാൻ കർത്താവിനെ ആരാധിക്കും. നവദിനസ് 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 ഞാൻ എന്റെ കർത്താവിനെ ആരാധിക്കും. ഹാലലൂയ, ഹന്ദന രചന, ഹാലലൂയ. ആമേൻ. ദാറ്റ്സ് ദി ആറ്റിറ്റ്യൂഡ് ഓഫ് ഡേവിഡ്. ആമേൻ. നവദിനസ്, ഹാലലൂയാ, ഹാലലൂയാ, ഹാലലൂയാ. ആമേൻ, ആമേൻ. ഓപ്പൺ വിത്ത് മീ ടു ഡേവിഡ് ബ്രോട്ട് ദ ബാക്ക് ദി ആർക്ക് ബാക്ക് ടു സയോൺ. ഹി ബ്രോട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ടു സയോൺ ആൻഡ് 1 ക്രോണിക്കിൾസ് 6 ആൻഡ് വേഴ്സ് 7. 1 ക്രോണിക്കിൾസ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 6 ആൻഡ് വേഴ്സ് 7. Chronicles chapter 7, pardon me. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there 7 in your book? There's a 7 in your book, but what I want is not there. Hallelujah. But it's there in the Bible. Hallelujah. Once a person was asked, what do you believe? And that person said, I believe what my church believes. And what does your church believe? The church believes what I believe. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Namma adu pole alla. Amen. Hallelujah. Namukku endha vishwasikkana aare vishwasikkana ariya. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'll get to the word from 1 Chronicles 16. And one onwards. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at the fourth verse. Look at the fifth verse, pardon me. Fourth verse. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief and the next to him. Amen. Did you find that word Asaph? There he is. Amen. Look at the next seventh verse. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of. Hallelujah. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of. Amen. On which day? When the Ark of the Covenant came back. Hallelujah. Asaph in the hand of. It's a psalm of restoration. Asaph. Hallelujah. If the enemy looks like he is one, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can restore. This is a testimony, Asaph. Hallelujah. This is a testimony. Hallelujah. Write it down. Sing it out. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. The 41st verse, same chapter. And with Heman and Jonathan, the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because His mercy endures forever. Amen. Hallelujah. 37th verse. So he left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister before the ark regularly as every day's work required. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're going to see a restoration. That is Psalm 80. Amen. Hallelujah. Cause your face to shine upon us, O God. And restore us that we might be saved. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us close our eyes today in prayer. Hallelujah. Ruda Jalamdana. The presence of the Lord is so strong in this place today. Hallelujah. I find a strong hand of restoration coming upon every life. ഹാലലൂയ കളത്തിന്റെ ബന്ധങ്ങളിരിക്കുന്ന ജീവിതങ്ങളുടെ മേൽ ദൈവിക കൃപ വ്യാപരിക്കാനായി ഞങ്ങൾ സമർപ്പിച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. സാമ്പത്തികമായ തടസ്സങ്ങൾ കെട്ടിനിൽക്കുന്ന കെട്ടുകൾ അഴിയുവാനായി യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ ഞങ്ങൾ പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. ഹാലലൂയ കടഭാരത്തിൽ കഴിയുന്ന ബന്ധനങ്ങൾ അഴിയുവാൻ, ഹാലലൂയ പുതിയൊരു വഴി തുറന്ന അനുഗ്രഹത്തിന്റെ വാതിൽ തുറക്കുവാൻ ഞങ്ങൾ സമർപ്പിച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. സഭയായിട്ട് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. കർത്താവേ ഹാലലൂയ ഹാലലൂയ റഡല ഹന്ദന രാജ ഹാലലൂയ ഹാലലൂയ യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ ഇന്നൊരു പുതിയ കൃപ വ്യാപരിക്കുവാന, ഒരു പുതിയ അഭിഷേകം വ്യാപരിക്കുവാന്, ജീവന്റെ അഭിഷേകം ഒഴുകുവാന് തകർക്കപ്പെട്ട സ്ഥലങ്ങളിൽ ഹാലലൂയ ദൈവം മാനിക്കണം. ദൈവം മാനിക്കുന്ന ദൈവിക കൃപ വ്യാപരിക്കുവാനെ സമർപ്പിച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. രോഗത്തിന്റെ ബന്ധനങ്ങളിലുള്ള രോഗബന്ധനങ്ങൾ അഴിയുവാനെ ഞങ്ങൾ സമർപ്പിച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. ഹാലലൂയ പ്രാർത്ഥനയുടെ ജീവിതങ്ങൾ കെട്ടിടക്കുന്ന ജീവിതങ്ങൾ പ്രാർത്ഥനയുടെ അനുഭവവും അഭിഷേകവും വാഴുവാൻ അങ്ങയുടെ മക്കളെ സമർപ്പിച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. വിശുദ്ധരുടെ മേഖലകൾ സമർപ്പിച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. ബന്ധങ്ങളുടെ മേൽ ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കൃപ അറിയുവാൻ ഹാലലൂയ രാജന ഹന്ദന രാജൽ ഖാര സമർപ്പിച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുക. യേശുവിനെ ഏൽപ്പിച്ച് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുക. ദൈവത്തെ സ്തുതിച്ചോളുക. ഹല്ലേലൂയ. Let the glory of God move for you. Come on, church. Worship him, worship him. ലാഡലാ രഞ്ജന. ലാഡലാ രഞ്ജന. ഹാലലൂയ Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory. Mighty Jesus. Mighty Jesus. Let us stand up, hallelujah, in the presence of the Lord today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, I'll be